Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for that old rugged cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, because you are indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We worship you, Lord, because you are the head of the church. You are indeed Savior of the world. Bless us, O God, as we enter into this study today. Bless us, O God, as we endeavor yet again to seek you out by means of your word. Bless us, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast Friday, December the 2nd. We have entered into the last month of the year, and we're focused on this thing called the Holy Kiss. We're reading out of Romans 16:16 first, and it reads, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Then we turn to 2 Corinthians 13:12. But let me start reading at verse 11. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect." That word perfect means to be mature. Be mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Notice how Paul in verse 11 says, be mature. Much of our infighting, much of the fighting that goes on in families, in marriage, in churches, in the workplace, has to do with maturity. How mature are we? Remember in 1 Corinthians when Paul said to you, you're acting like babies, fighting over favorite preachers. You're spiritual babes. You're not mature. You need to grow up. Fighting over preachers is silly. It's nonsensical. Why would you do that? That just goes to show you have not grown in Christ. You see how everything's connected? Finally, brethren, farewell. But as I say my farewell, I encourage you to be perfect or be mature. Be mature. Be fully grown. No one's going to achieve perfection. That's a poor translation there in the King James. The real meaning is be mature. Now, see, when a man is 5 years old, he has not grown fully. A man reaches maturity after 21. When a man is 21, or let's say 30, anywhere from 21 to 30, that's it. He's not going to grow anymore. He has reached his maturity, physical maturity. Now, of course, we hope that men, once they reach their physical maturity, we pray that their mind will continue to mature. So Paul says here, be mature. Be mature mentally. Be mature spiritually. And be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, why does Paul say this again to the Corinthians? Notice he first says to the Romans, kiss one another with a holy kiss. But then in 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul really challenges the Corinthian church to live in peace, to love one another. Why does he devote so much of verse 11 in giving them this challenge to be mature? Well, because if we're not mature, if we don't act like adults, if we act like babies, going to be one hot mess. And it shouldn't be. The church should never be a mess. Maturity should reign. We should all strive for spiritual maturity. We should all strive to live in peace, to be of one mind, to be of good comfort, to know that you have my back and I have your back. We can rest assured that we are watching out for each other. And if we watch out for each other, and if we're spiritually mature, and if we're of one mind, and we make it our mission to live in peace, then the God of love and the God of peace will be with us. If not, he won't. Now again, why does Paul bring this up? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. And 2 Corinthians 11 really gives us the whole theme of this second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. You see, my brothers and sisters, anytime a church is on the move, anytime a church is growing, it's going to be visited. That's right. Churches on the move, churches that are endeavoring to live for Christ, are going to be visited. Yes, we love visitors on Sunday morning, but there's some visitors you're not going to want. There's some visitors you don't ever want coming to your church. But if you're on the move, if you're doing what's right, if you're praying, if you're studying the scriptures, if you're evangelizing, if you are caring for one another, if you're building each other in the most holy faith, trust me, you're going to be visited the same way Adam and Eve were visited in the garden. They were visited by a serpent. So let's read 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 2, Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." What is Paul saying? He's saying, listen, you've been visited. The same way Eve was visited in the garden. Was it a friendly visit? Well, the serpent came friendly, but his intentions were not friendly. He came giving Eve advice. He came telling Eve he was her friend, but he was not her friend, and he was not bringing her advice. He was sowing rebellion in her heart, rebellion against school, rebellion against God. You see, my brothers and sisters, the same way Adam and Eve were visited in the garden by Satan, Satan also visits churches that are on the move. And what Satan does is he sows seeds of doubt, seeds of rebellion, seeds of division. This is why Paul says, listen, I fear that Satan has paid you a visit. And not just Satan, but if you go to verse 13 in this same chapter, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You see, my brothers and sisters, Satan visits the church, and he doesn't come alone. We've had recently people visit us, families visit us. Few people ever visit a church alone. They come visiting with an entourage. Satan and his false teachers have visited Corinth. And Satan has not been reformed. Satan has never repented. Satan is as wily as ever, as wicked as ever, and his goal is to bring division to the church, the same way he brought division in the garden. God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" And Adam says, "Hiding." And who told you to hide? We were together. We were one. We were in complete fellowship. Who told you to hide? Who has caused this wedge between us? You see, this is why Paul says to the Corinthians, listen, you need to be on the lookout. Now, when Satan comes, he doesn't come advertising that he's Satan. He comes as a messenger of light. He's looking who he can deceive. Oh, Satan sounded good in the garden, and no doubt he sounded good when he came to Corinth. And so do his ministers. His ministers, Satan's ministers, say all the right things in the beginning. But watch them for a while, and you'll see how they start saying all the wrong things. And what do? They drive a wedge between the people of God and God by introducing rebellious teachings. Teachings that would cause you to rebel against the word of God. So now in that context, knowing the context of the whole epistle of 2 Corinthians, which Paul is warning. See, 1 Corinthians is 1 Corinthians. We are being attacked from within. We're attacking each other. That's 1 Corinthians. The reason why we're attacking each other is because we're babies. Because we haven't matured. Because we're fighting over the silliest things. That's 1 Corinthians. But in 2 Corinthians now, the attack is from without. Satan is coming. Now, when Satan comes to attack, he doesn't come attacking as an enemy. He comes attacking as a friend. And he comes and he brings teachings that drive a wedge between God and his people. So much so that instead of being a happy church, a church who's been espoused to Christ, a church who is anxiously awaiting her bridegroom, now the church no longer has any interest in Jesus. She's been led astray from Jesus, and she's chasing something else. So it is to this church that Paul says in verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. But before I sign off, let me once again advise you, be perfect, be mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Don't be divided in your agenda. Don't be divided in your cause. As a church, as a congregation, be single-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and the God of peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Seal this love by giving each other genuine kisses. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, there it is, the Trinity, be with you all. Amen. Let us be on guard, saints. Let us be on guard. We're on the move. And Satan is coming. He's going to visit. He always does. If there's one visitor you can expect at your church, it will be Satan. And he never comes alone. He always brings his ministers, which are dangerous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us the discernment that we need. Give us discerning ears. Give us the mind of Christ. Give us the love of the Father. And give us the resiliency of the Holy Spirit. Guard our church, O God. Protect our church. And we shall endeavor not just to greet one another with a holy kiss, but to continually love one another in the fear and in the admonition and in the love of the Lord. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.